This is Kevin Campbell, and you're listening to Chewing the Cud with the Irish Toffees. Come on, you Blues!
Welcome along, folks, to a derby preview on Chewing the Cud. We usually do this as a standalone pod because a lot of people tune into this vent. These are probably one of the more angry ones. Not even angry, it's just like the usual defeatists. We know we're not going to get out in that shithole. We never do. We never turn up. But anyway, see where we go. Three of us again tonight. Richie and Chris, afternoon, boys.
How are you, lads? How's things?
Very good.
How good. I'd like to say looking forward to the weekend, but Richie, like I said earlier, we just I hate these derbies. I fucking hate them. The home ones aren't too bad because we kind of tend to put in a little bit more of an effort and turn up slightly, but we just never turn up at Anfield, ever.
Yeah, and typically, as you said, the one time that we did, there was no one there to see it. But they've been horrendous for years. And I mean, the last couple of years, you say, it was all about just kind of saving face and trying to stay in the game for as long as possible, 60, 70 minutes and then concede a couple of goals. But I don't know, for me, yeah, you don't have any great expectations on going into Saturday, but really you just want to see, go out and have a go, try to impact the game some little bit and to make them think. Because ultimately, I don't know, you look at games like Arsenal, eventually with the quality that teams have, like they'll put something or a little bit of something special out of some place and they'll get something against us. Like, so really you just want to have a go yourself rather than just trying to sit in and to maybe scrape a nil all, because it's just horrible for us. Whereas if you go and maybe make them think a little bit, look, they're a decent side. Go up front, I think they're really good. But at the back, I think they can be got at, whether we're capable of doing it or not. But just a little bit of belief in ourselves and try to go and impact the game and actually have a go for once. I think we haven't had a go there for a long time. Obviously, the game that we won with Sir Richarlison, we did. So just like to see something similar. But just go and give us something to shout about for a while,
Yeah, that's the thing, Chris. Listen, there's no getting away. There's no point lying. Like, they're one of the better teams in the league the last few years. But, like, at Derby, we should be going there. Like I said, giving it a go. Like, we just having a go that keeps our blood in the shirt. But I don't know what it is. It's just the ninth wonder of the world. We never, ever turn up an athlete. We just turn to shit, no matter what form we're in going into the game, no matter how poor they are. It's just baffling that we never, ever turn up here.
We've seen it all at this stage. We've taken plenty of hidings there. We've closed calls. We've shot ourselves in the foot in every way possible. Red cards, sendings off, fucking last minute goals, giving away penalty. Anything could be done has been done. It's just, I think they're a good side. And to be fair, they've started the season really well. Bar the Spurs game, they were on a really, really good run. And they were hard done by in that game.
Were they?
I didn't hear. As you might have heard.
No, that's a new one for me. But look, I didn't see it.
They're a good side, especially at home. And for me, it's a psychological thing with us, these should be games that you should embrace as a player. You should stand up to the fight, psych yourself up. Let's meet them physically. Let's put a foot in, show them we're there. But we just go in with playing with fear. I think we're beaten before we go out a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Psychologically, we're afraid of them, There's an inferiority complex there. And look, we're not as good at them. Absolutely. Fair, as much as we dislike them. You call out is, we're nowhere near as good as them. And like as Richie says, like let's turn up and have a go. And in that respect, what he means is not just sit back and just put and just wait for wave after wave of attack and not offer anything at the other end. We're not going to out football them. We're not going to outplay them. Technically, we haven't got the players that they have. So we're not going to dominate possession and pin them in, but we have to be compact. Be hard to be. A lot of teams they played, Spurs, Chelsea, Brighton the other week. There's a lot of fixtures where teams will play a bit more open against them and play their own brand. So, we're going to be the opposite. We're going to just sit in, keep our shape, try and frustrate them. maybe let them put balls out wide and whatever it may be. But, you know, we have to offer that threat at the other end. And like Rich said, they definitely can be got at. You said Joe Robinson is possibly out, which is a bonus. Van Dijk hasn't been the same, you know. I think he got injured a while back and apparently he hasn't recovered from that. I don't know. But right back, Alexander, look, we know as good as he is going forward what he can do on the ball defensively, especially if they press high up. They're going to leave a lot of space in behind. And I think we definitely have enough there in terms of an outlet with Harrison. Hopefully he's fit to start McNeil back in, and just the way Decore bombs forward. And, you know, Calvert-Lewin has that focal point as well. I think we have enough about us to be able to exploit them enough to get into good areas. And with us, is we do tend to get into good positions, but it's that final ball and or that final shot, that final pass where we're just, the quality isn't there most of the time, and we're not clinical enough. And in games like these, you might get three chances maybe in the 90, like good quality chances, which you should be scoring. And you have to pour a couple of them away. You have to be ruthless in these games, you know. Be good on, be defensively sound, good unit, work hard, match them physically and upset them. Every other team does it to us. We went there, I know we ended up getting beaten, but we went there under Lampard, I think, the year before last. They ended up beating us 2-0. The first half, we put in a really good showing. You know, we got stuck into them. We were hard in the tackle. We pretended we were injured. We broke up play. We slowed things down. Do whatever you have to do to quiet down the crowd and disrupt their fluidity, you know. Everyone else does it to us. Arsenal done it to us. They had about 8 head injuries and it's 3 minutes added on. So let's us use the dark arts and, you know what I mean, get about them and just do whatever we have to do by any means necessary to get a result.
I think that, hey, Rich, we, like, as much as we want to go there and win and, you know, put on a display, like, we have to be nasty. Like, there's players that can do it. We have, as Chris always says, yard dogs. We have lads there who can slow a game down and be in your face and all. But we need to... But we need to have, like, we haven't done all season. Bournemouth may be part. Take chances when we create them. We just can't do them. I think we're second in the league for big chances created, but we're probably 18th for big chances taken.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will come down to us was having that belief as well, having the game plan, everything in place. You know, and you look at it, there wasn't too many of us that were away on international duty. You know, I think Pickford, Brantwood with 21s, Patterson. Apart from that, pretty much nearly everyone was there. So you've 2 weeks to prep for this game. So you just hope that they have a really good game plan. Everyone, they've had time to work on it, time to get everything right and to get really tuned into what's in store, and you just want to see that, you know, get a quick start with it. And that, look, you're totally right. Chances have to be taken in any game, but this game, especially for fans, you know, we will get a couple, and it's about being clinical. You know, we've been horrific for a long time, like on our conversion, and it's just one day where you want things to click and to go right. So yeah, I mean, if you get one, but if you get one, I mean, I think they've gone behind a lot in an awful lot of games. It just gives something to cling on to as well. You know, it puts a little bit of, I suppose, intimidation into the crowd as well. It changes the atmosphere. And in a game like this, it can really affect it because a little bit more nerves will creep into the crowd because they won't want to lose to it. And that's what we got to do, is we got to play on every little thing. And as you said, kind of breaking up the game, stop starting it, just causing that frustration. And it's for me, it's just having the belief to go, be able to go out and to do it and doing it in whatever manner it takes, you know. So it's, we're asking a lot. We need an almost perfect performance in all these kind of aspects. So it's a big ask given, look, we're, what are we, 15th, I think, at the minute, like, but for with good reason as well. So against a team who are probably still kind of believing that they can win the league. So it is a big ask when you kind of strip the derby away from it, you know. And if it was City or Arsenal, say, we're going in and we're saying, right, it's a free hit because we don't expect to beat these teams. But ultimately, there's no free hit against these. Like, you got to go out and you got to try to get something out of it.
Yeah, just on the team, Chris, obviously we haven't seen a press conference. It's a bit early in the week. Would you make much changes? I think obviously you have to win a 3-0. You don't really want to change a winning side, but would he kind of bolster up at the back or five at the back? I don't know. Does he does even like that five at the back. I don't, because it just, we get smothered in midfield. But I don't know. Does Dyche go there with a defensive formation and hope for the best?
Ideally, like in normal circumstances, like at any level, Joe, you'd say, right, everyone's playing for their place. You win, same team players next week. You know, sub comes on and proves himself, right, you're in for the following week. And you like to build that bit of, like we always talk about, like continuity, partnerships on the pitch, kind of, you know, working on that collective as a unit, because there's so much that goes into it, kind of off the ball as well, and understanding where your teammates are going to be, and, you know, what the kind of movement patterns, and, you know, developing that understanding amongst each other. And if you keep chopping and changing, it's very hard to kind of, you know, develop when you have a new player beside you every week, or a player out of position, not in his natural position. It kind of just disrupts the balance and, you know, the fluidity of what you're trying to do. In an ideal world, everyone that played against Bournemouth probably deserves to start, obviously barring any injuries or knocks or anything like that. But, I mean, everything is sports science now and data, and looking at the opposition as well and their strengths and weaknesses. So, like you said, it's whatever his game plan is and however he feels is the best way to approach it, to, you know, be defensively sound and have something at the other end. If he feels that's a change of system or better personnel is suited in a better area to exploit that, well then, you know, fair enough. But as fans, we just see the team sheet and we don't get the logic, or we don't understand the rationale behind why players are picked and put here and there. There is obviously a plan, and they look no more than us, really, you know. It doesn't always come off. The players might not always perform, or the manager might not always get it right. But I'm sure there's a rationale behind everything they do, even if it's enforced through injury or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, Joe. Like, the three at the back, it's just... I always felt it never really, for the most part, suited us. You know, like on paper, you would think Patterson would be... it would suit him a little bit more. He can get a bit higher up the pitch. Mikulenko isn't great from an attacking perspective. I think he's doing okay up against Salah the last couple of times. Now, Salah's going to beat you a couple of times. You're not going to keep him for 90 minutes. But I think one-to-one, Mikulenko did okay against him. He's not going to be getting caught high up the pitch, you know. The five at the back, I think when you're playing against a superior team that keep the ball well and move the ball well, it turns just into a flat five, the three, you know what I mean? And we can't get out. We just keep just clearing the ball, turning the ball over. We've no outlet of such. Even if you have Dom up there, everyone's sitting in a bit deeper and we can't get men up the pitch. So, I don't know. I just don't think that would be... I just don't see it, really. I think we've a bit of stability there with the flat four. Tarkowski and Brandwaite have a good partnership there as well. They kind of know... they have that understanding now of what each other's doing, and... you know, even Patterson probably, whether he comes in again or Ashley Young, I'd like to see Patterson, to be honest with you. You know, Ashley Young, it's, you know, he just, Patterson's going to develop. I think he has a lot of potential, and you'd like to see him given the time to grow into his potential, you know. But he'd probably go with Ashley Young for the experience, maybe with the occasion and being away from home, and play it safe, as Dyche typically would, you know. But yeah, it's a tricky one, because Gay is probably going to come back in, which in a game like this, you can understand it. But whereas the Bournemouth game, he wasn't needed. We played much better without him. We were more balanced with Onana and Garner in the middle. I think everything functioned a little bit smoother. We were better on the ball, and we didn't really need that sitter, I guess, you know. So that midfield three doesn't really work in a lot of games, you know. So yeah, but you can kind of see it. You can see him changing it there. I don't know who's going to drop out. But
that's the thing. Who's he take out?
McNeil. There you go. He's going to have to drop one.
We don't want to see moving Garner back out right again. I think it just totally upsets the balance that we spoke about that helped us so much last week. You know, if you're doing that to accommodate, and I think that's where the big, I suppose, question mark is on the side going into the weekend, is will Garner come back in if he's fit, and at whose expense? So remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think Garner, we spoke about this a couple of times, he has to stay in the middle now. I think it's just, he's shown it in in the last two or three games that like he sits in there, well, he can see a pass, and he has, well, whether it be Onana or Ghana, but he has somewhere there beside him where if the ball goes past him, to break it up and give it back to him. So I think that's just a given. For me, anyway, Rich, Garner just has to be in the middle.
Yeah, well, I think if you remember, it was Onana that was actually dropped last week, kind of, or whenever it was before Bournemouth, and it was only the injury that kind of on the day that forced that allowed him to play. So unless he kind of reverts to that and said, right, that this is what the initial plan was, but I thought Onana done that way as well. So it's just 3 and 4 doesn't go. I think you know, I think he just offers so much in that press going forward, and that extra body, kind of that ability to kind of get up and support Dom as well. I think he's vital for us to be able to on the top end of the pitch. And it's about, again, you say it again, it's about balance, you know, not to be too gung-ho, obviously, and to be going all out there. But again, you don't want to be just kind of sitting and inviting them on top of us. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see Gannett come back in. And just on it, you'd have to presume that it'll be Onana that'll drop out if that's the way he goes.
Yeah, I think it just has to be one of them too, Chris, because it's again, we're going back on ourselves, but it's proven that the three of them, him, Decore, and Onana, it just does not work. It just doesn't. So it's one of Garner or Onana to be in there with Garner.
And Onana can do that job as well. You know, he had some really good recoveries in the Bournemouth game. You know, he probably doesn't work as hard as Garner. Look, to be fair to Garner, look, the fella's in his 30s now. He's not the player he was when we signed him from Villa, you know, for all those years. But he still has that engine and he still presses. You know, the thing is now, like, he slowed down a bit and he's so poor in possession, Garner, you know, in the other end of the pitch. Like, he couldn't hit a barn door with his shooting when he gets in and around the box. He gets dispossessed too easily at times as well, and we're caught out of shape, and, you know, we give away chances, and he's cost us a few goals, a few passbacks, and, you know, so on the ball, he's probably not, you know, I'd probably rather Onana, but it's about the shape, isn't it? It's the unit. Like, there's a structure behind your defensive setup and the way where you position everybody, even the midfield four, say, when you're defending, everyone has a zone or whatever to be in. And like, the idea is to, what we do with a lot of teams is we're happy to push them out wide because we're confident in our aerial ability in the middle that we'll defend our box well, you know, which would probably play to the strength more of our centre backs than pacey players running direct through the middle, you know. So the collective as a unit, all kind of cut off all the passing lines and push the, force the opposition to play the ball out wide, stop them from coming through the middle. So if Garner is better in that defensive structure than Onana in terms of his discipline or whatever it may be, he's probably going to get the nod, you know. So it's going to be a game where just staying as long as possible. Like Richie said about scoring the first goal, and I think it speaks for itself. When we score first, we tend to get a result. When we concede, we don't come back. You know, regardless whether it's Luton or whoever it may be, we just don't seem to be able to turn it around. And especially a game like this, with what it is, that, you know, this, you know, it's a big game. It's a derby game. It'll be hostile enough, you know. You don't want to give them any more encouragement than they already need. So we really have to kind of stay in the game as long as we can. And if we can somehow a set piece or get our noses in front, catch them on the break, have something to hold on to, well, absolutely. But I mean, if we self-inflicted mistake or get caught out early or switch off, there'll be no switching off. Like, you can't give these a sniff. Goal down early, and I mean, we're finished. That's when you worry we could be here, you know, big time for 3 or 4, really, because the mentality, like we spoke about before, it's just not there. The players just drop the shoulders, feel sorry for themselves, slump around, blame each other, point the fingers, and they just haven't got the, I just don't think they have it in them to just, when things are put up against us like that, to be able to stand up in the face and keep their heads and not throw in the towel, you know. You can have, as a footballer, like, it's more than just what you do on the pitch with the ball, how hard you work. Psychological is a huge part of it as well, you know. And a lot of these players, I feel, just, they're not Premier League players in terms of their mentality. They're not winners. you know, the perennial losers. A lot of them have come from relegated teams, like you said before. And look, I suppose where we are, as much as the players are part of why we are where we are, being in that environment for a couple of years, and then all the off-the-field stuff with the ownership, the negativity, and it's just one big vicious negative cycle, I think, around the club. So that's where days like the Bournemouth game, you just have to enjoy it even more. And then the 2 week break, you can be on high for 2 weeks. But yeah, look, no, just kind of expect the worst and hope for the best kind of situation for me.
Yeah, I think that's the way I look at it now. Just go into the game with zero expectations and just hope against hope. I presume now, Rich, that obviously Harrison and McNeil, they started to play, like, get forward and do, as I call it, what wingers do. But not just that, the two of them can track back, especially McNeil, like, he's up and down the wing all of a sudden. But Harrison, we said last week, when he gets back to full fitness, he can come back and help, whether it be Young or Patterson as well.
Yeah, definitely. If you remember back to the chance that Bournemouth had kind of last week, where McNeil cleared it off the line from a set piece, but he was on the line, and then he was straight up the other end as well. So definitely massive work rate within the two of them. It's in their game, but not just kind of wide. I think that they've been kind of given a lot of freedom to be able to drift inside as well. That if one is out, the other one will drift in and give that extra body inside as well. And I think that's working well. Both of them have that quality to be able to do that inside, and it's getting time together so that they're knowing that, right, if one is pushing out, that the other one is able to drop into the middle and to give that support inside. So it takes time to build up to play, or I suppose for Dyche to be able to get the players into the idea that he wants, and these are the fellas who he trusts to be able to do it. You know, you're looking at things and you don't see Dan Juma having that kind of work rate that he probably requires, you know, so far anyway. But I think with McNeil and with Harrison, I think they're clearly the two that he would like to have kind of on his as the wide front players, or whatever you want to call them. And it'll be, yeah, I think they've been given a big task because of their work rate and because of their engine, that they'll just go all day, you know, the two of them. And, you know, they're vital in the way that he wants to play. So it's kind of, I won't say getting them, it's nearly getting them involved in the game, because obviously if you're an out and out wide player, you can drift in and out of games, and sometimes the game passes you by and you might just get one moment of brilliance, whereas these guys are tend to impact the game a little bit more because they can get on the ball a lot more and they have a lot more freedom to come pick it up and to travel with it. And it's not just staying wide, it's being able to do a little bit of everything, which is, it's a big bonus when you've got a small squad having fellas like this. So I think they're massive as far as, yeah.
I think that the key as well, Chris, is the link between them and Dom. I presume it's going to be Dom up front. Like he's done very well since he's come back in. But it's just to get, not just them two, but the Corey, not to have them miles apart from Dom, just to get up close when we have the ball. And if he's an out ball, give it up to him. But they have to be on the game to support him.
Yeah, look, you know, I think that's as well what we done quite well against Bournemouth. Although Calvert-Lewin didn't score, I think he put in a really good performance with his all-round game, and even just being that focal point and, you know, bringing other players into the game. And if he didn't win the header, we had somebody alongside him that was there to pick up the second ball and we would play from there, you know, just to contest things. Because when he's been out, we've had the likes of Mopay or Sims or Damari Gray or whoever we played up front. Mostly, you've two centre-backs on them, and it's a no-contest aerially, and it just becomes too predictable, you know. So at least he's competing and giving us something at the other end of the pitch. He's definitely going to start. He deserves to start. Like, 3 goals in 4 games. He's been really, really good for us since he came back. His confidence is probably high. And yeah, he's our best striker. Like Beto, look, we've seen glimpses of him, and you know, he's had one or two poor cameos, but gotta give the guy the benefit of the doubt. It took McNeil a bit of time to kind of get used to it as well, the club and the system and that as well. We should probably, like, it's been good that we had kind of Beto in to take the pressure off Calvert-Lewin being rushed back, and I think it works the opposite way as well, having Calvert-Lewin back. Gives us time to let Beto bed in a little bit more and adapt and adjust as well. the, you know, the Premier League, the physicality, the training, and then, like, these are all around conditioning and their own personal programs behind the scenes to get them to a certain level that, you know, that they should be or that they need to be for the league. And look, he looks raw, but he definitely has enough physically about him, Beto. But yeah, you go with Dom. And to see, this is a typical kind of game where we leave him isolated and he's ineffective, you know. So it's exactly like you said. That's what the core is there for all his, you know, the things he does poorly with his, maybe his 5-yard pass and then his technical things. He does get up really well and he just pops up in the box and he has a habit of catching it on the half volley and getting on the end of a few things. So he's the only one that can really do that. Really, you know, I think Garner's a bit more creative and a bit more, he just settles things down and does the basics quite well and keeps things ticking along. Different kind of player, but he's not going to have that physicality probably to get up and down, like in an attacking and a defensive perspective, like Dakari does, up and down, up and down. He has that energy and he has the legs, so he's definitely going to have to be the support man. But it's like you said, everyone has to be on the same page. There's no point Dom and Dakari pressing and everyone else is in our own half and you're just wasting energy and then you're caught out of shape. We have to be on it as a collective. Like you said, hopefully over those 2 weeks have been well drilled. Everything is going to be done as a unit. We'll defend as a unit. We'll attack as a unit at the right times. Especially in a game like this, there's a time for showing a bit of composure and taking the sting out of the game. Not that we can keep the ball for more than 4 or 5 passes, but you can be clever. Draw a foul, slow it down, pretend you're injured, whatever it may be, you know. You have to be clever as well and not do stupid things and cough up the ball too quick and have a rush of blood to the head and run into trouble and leave ourselves exposed. So everything has to be as a unit, you know, everyone on the same wavelength. We know what we're doing. Like I said, we press well, we defend well. And when we have our opportunities to attack and play opens up or we turn the ball over in midfield or we press high, whatever way we approach it, that's when, you know, we have to get up and support Dom. We have to get men into the box. We have to get our wingers high up. We have to, yeah, just get bodies forward. You know, you don't have men in the box, you don't score. And picking up the second ball, I think, you know, in men in around the box, even when it's cleared, we got done last year from our own corner just before half time against this. You know, the corner was cleared. They won the ball, broke the length of the pitch and 1-0. And that was that, you know, that was a killer. So, yeah, look, it's like Richie's bang on. We need to be pretty much perfect. And we need a bit of luck as well to go for us, which we haven't tended to get here spare 2 times since the 1940s or whatever it might have been, like the Wild. So, look, yeah, it is what it is. But look, it's not the be-all and end-all. Like, it, you know, these games where you're not expecting to get anything, this isn't going to define our season, you know. It's not. We don't have to. And it's easy to say, you know, games like this, we're going in with no expectations. We get beat, right? Well, we knew we were going to get beaten anyway. It's not the game. And the frustration is being against the Fulhams, the Wolves, those kind of games, the Lutons, the teams around us, which you would be expecting us to be getting results against, that are going to be in and around us that will define where we finish in the league. Not this or Man City kind of a thing, you know, it is what it is. But it's frustrating because it's a derby and what's riding on it and we can't stand them, and we're always on the receiving end. We never get to give anything back to them, you know what I mean? It's just a one-edged, you know, they're always getting to just take the piss out of us. So it would be nice for once to just things to go our way. A Deutsch masterclass, as they call it.
Yeah, it's got to be horrible one, yeah. That'll see what's up. Right, we're getting into predictions. Rich?
God.
After everything we've said.
Yeah, look, I suppose you'd love to be predicting a win, you know, or anything, but, you know, to try to be realistically, I don't see us getting anything. I don't see us winning it. I think we'll score. I'll go for a 2-1 defeat, unfortunately.
2-1, yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I think they'll probably just beat us 2-0, pal. I just can't see us getting a goal and be opposite to Rich, to be honest with you. And I think we'll hold them out for quite a while, but once they get that goal, I think to break the door down, and you know, we'll make it difficult for them. Probably won't show a whole lot from an attacking perspective, but we'll probably be relatively hard to beat and do okay until they inevitably get a goal. They'll probably get a deflection or a fucking penalty or something usual, but how it goes. And I just think they've too much firepower, and we have too many lapses in concentrations or too many individual errors. And unfortunately, when you're playing teams with the calibre of attackers they have, you can't really do that and you get punished, you know.
Yeah, well, 2-0. Yeah. I'm going to go with Rich. 2-1. No. I think. Sorry, Rich, go on.
No, sorry, Joe. I was just saying that my thing about seeing us score is more based on them. I think they've only one clean sheet kept this season. So
that's why I'm going to go with 2-1 as well, because and I know it sounds ridiculous. They're poor at the back. Especially from set pieces. We're not exactly brilliant at set pieces.
Against them, so they do cough up chances. So you just hope
I'm going to go with 2-1, simply because they're poor. And Robertson is out lovely. I just can't stand that chap. It's toss up between him and Klopp, who I hate more. I just think they're shaky at the back. So maybe a corner, Tarkowski or something. But again, I just can't see us winning. I just can't see anything other than a Liverpool win. As much as
if we do win, I won't be having any clean sheets either.
I don't know. We just never do it against them. We just never ever do it. And just here's hoping that everything is wrong. Everything goes away. Luck goes away. The ref gives us something. All the things that we never get at Anfield have to align, the stars, everything. Just for us to get anything out of it. We're not going to match them.
Anything from an official against these after all the mountain against Spurs, I think, is next to impossible.
Well, that's another thing. You just hope that the officials are strong enough. You know what I mean? Where if it is a decision, just give the fucking thing. Just give it. It doesn't matter who it's against or who the team is. If it's a right decision, just give it. Just give it. For both ways as well, because we don't want to coming away and being like them moaning about, wow, we got this, we got that. Listen, if you have to go to VAR 10 times, fine, but get it right 10 times. Don't be fucking up and not making a mind up. So, anyway.
And look, if you're clutching at straws, which I think we kind of have to do for the majority of our existing lives as Evertonians, like the games after the international break can be a bit touch and go as well, you know what I mean? Players, they've had a lot more away than us. Players are probably only coming back on the Thursday, maybe getting a day in training on the Friday. They don't have a lot of time to work on that we might have a little bit more, you know? They won't have a lot of time to prepare. Players might have knocks and niggles and, you know, it can be slow. And then you throw in the half-12 kickoff. We know what Goodison's like for half-12 kickoff. Just be subdued. People are only out of bed. So, you know, the atmosphere might be a bit more subdued than it would be. We always tend to play midweek or an evening time derby there when we're playing them. So an early kickoff probably for the first time in a while. So all these little things, if you're clutching at straws, we have to use them in our favour. As you said, come out and, you know, frustrate them, slow the game down, subdue the crowd, and pressure's on them then the longer it goes on, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, fingers crossed, boys. And I know, Chris, you're going to a wedding, so you'll have the phone on. Phone on or off.
Depends, yeah. They'll be saying in the church, does anybody have any objections? I'll be, get in there! Come on! Sorry about me. Carry on.
Just run out. All right, boys. Listen, fingers crossed. And I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in joining the Irish Toffee Supporters Club, just send an email to memberships@irish-toffees.com or visit our website www.irish-toffees.com. Up the Toffees.